We've been asking the question. What was the question? That's right. One person got it right anyway. Who am I listening to? Self? Others? Satan? God? In reality, we could be listening to all of them. Yeah. But remember last week I stated the best one to listen to is God. I think we all know that anyway, don't we? Yeah. But he's given us more than one sense. We can listen to him, but we looked at seeing. Seeing what God's doing. And then we looked at what Paul had said in Ephesians when he was saying to us that the eyes of our heart, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Here we've got here that Paul said, come on, want the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And if you remember last week, I tried to do something that didn't work. Yeah, I put out a big floodlight there. One broke. There was should have been two bulbs. One broke. And it lit the place up a little bit more. But if we had double the intensity of light, and that's what it's like. God wants to flood so we can see with greater, you know, reality, you know, and see what he's doing. And I was encouraging you to actually start reading that, praying that, speaking that out over yourselves regularly, that the eyes of your heart, your eyes of your understanding will be flooded, absolutely flooded, so that we can understand, we can get to know God more. You know, do you believe God wants to speak to you, that God wants to communicate with you? But that's in a variety of different ways, isn't it? It's through his word, yes. But there's also through giving us dreams, giving us visions, prophetic words, supernatural encounters. We're in the last days, aren't we? Do we agree with that? Because actually that's when Jesus started into that, after Jesus came. And we get an account in Acts where it's Peter speaks out, and he's actually repeating something that was spoken out by the prophet Joel some approximately 800 years beforehand. And this is just after the time when they've been waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were in the upper room. But who was in the upper room? The disciples were in the upper room. And it tells us very clearly there were 120 of them. That's men and women. That's not just the 12 apostles. That's 120 people, 10 times the number. But what? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they came out in the using the power of the Holy Spirit. It tells us very clearly that they were speaking in tongues that everybody in the marketplace could understand, because the disciples were speaking in so many different languages that everybody could identify. Now, a lot of these people, they were fishermen. They weren't educated. They were frowned upon. They were looked down on. They're almost the lowest of the low. They were nearly shepherds. Yeah, but we've got it in the state here that they're all speaking different languages that haven't been taught. But the Holy Spirit comes in, and God was speaking through them. And what he quoted was, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Sort yourselves out which category in. And on my maidservants and on my men servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The signs, wonders, miracles, all sorts that's spoken of in there. And God says, that's going to happen. That's my word. That will happen. But you know, God wants intimacy. Intimacy comes through communication. Ask any counselor that. Any marriage breakdown, why? Because they haven't talked to each other. And that's the cause for a lot of communication break, a lot of problems in the world. Lack of communication. You know, and God wants to speak to us. He wants an intimacy. But he goes further than speaking or hearing, doesn't he? Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." It's another one of the senses that God wants to bless us with. Is taste. What does it mean when it starts taste and see? To taste is to sample, to take and eat a small portion. Taste is important because it enables us to choose the correct food. It enables us to discern good from bad. The second part of the verse goes on, how blessed, fortunate, prosperous and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him. But from the Hebrew, when we look at the word blessed, it's not necessarily about health and wealth. It's an assurance that we live under God's wing. Blessed means making progress, moving ahead, walking, advancing, being led on. So we're to experience God, we're to trust him, and to be led on by him. Matthew Henry says, when David wrote, he was expressing his utmost devotion to and love for God, and the unexplained depths of his compassion. He is good, for he makes all those who trust in him truly blessed. Let us therefore be so convinced of his goodness and thereby to be encouraged in the worst of times to trust him. The word taste, translated from the Hebrew, means to perceive, to see. And see means to have vision. But it also means to learn about, to consider, to give attention to discern, to look intently, to gaze at, to look at each other in the face. Notice what the psalm says. Tasting happens before seeing. Our spiritual experiences bring us, lead us, move us, advance us to spiritual enlightenment and understanding. David is saying, the psalmist is saying, come on, try. I want you to know, to experience what I've experienced of my God, to see how good God is. Matthew Henry again, he says, let God's goodness be rolled under the tongue as a sweet morsel. Who's done that? Who's got something they really, really like? Go on, just think of your favorite thing. And in the mouth. Can you taste it? The juice is starting to roll already. And roll it around your tongue to get the best out of it, isn't it? It's a case, you know, we don't gobble it and swallow it down straight away. We want to savor it. Taste and see that it's good. I've got an apple here. Can you tell me what that apple's like? Yes, it's red. It's sort of round. Spherical. Okay, thank you. We're getting technical here. If I couldn't half, that would make a change. Yeah, but what's it like? We can describe it, can't we? But how do we really, really know what an apple's like? When we eat it, when we take a bite of it, and we sink our teeth into it, and the juices, are you getting hungry yet? And the juices start going to your mouth, and then you start chewing it, and then you get the texture. Because all apples aren't the same, are they? I mean, some of them are absolute rubbish and taste like water. Yeah, but some of them are really nice and a nice texture to them. To chew, to know what that apple's like, you've got to taste it. You've got to experience in your mouth before you can see what it's like. You see, there's a lot of people know about God. Even the demons know about God. But how many know God personally? And that's what comes with tasting and seeing. That's when we can experience our God. We need to recognize that to get to that real place, we've got to give up control of our own lives. Not that I'm in charge, I did it my way, but it's let's look to God and do it His way. Let God be in control. The old adage, get out the driving seat and get in the back seat and let God drive for the journey He wants to take us on. Come to a place of trusting God, trusting that He knows best. The more we know who we are in Christ, the more we can taste and see. The more we know who we are in Christ, the more we can relate to God. Because as we realize who we are in Christ, the barriers start coming down. The defenses, we take them down and we say, You're in control, Lord. You're the one who created me. You know everything about me. You know your plan and purpose that you've got for me. So, Lord, I hand over to you. We have five qualities of taste. What are they? Come on, shout out. How do we? Sweet, sour, salty, bitter. Yes, which is savory. David gave it the posh name there. Yeah, sweet, sour, salty, bitter, savory. As we go through life, have we experienced experiences like that? Yeah, we say that it's a bitter pill to taste. Yeah. So we've got sweet, we've got sour. Yeah, we've got salty. Yeah. A bit bitter and savory. King David was no stranger to problems when he penned Psalm 34. And we've already had one part of it, taste and see that the Lord is good. But he was in a particular difficult time when he penned this psalm, or when he was thinking about this. It was at a time when he was on the run. He was fleeing from one king. He sought shelter with another king, but that other king was an enemy king, and he has to pretend madness. We see in 1 Samuel 21, then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Do they not sing to him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. He had a good right to be frightened of him. So he changed his behavior before them, pretending madness in their hands, scratching on the doors of the gate and let his saliva fall down onto his beard. Then Achish said to the servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? He says, look, there's plenty of folks that's nuts in my country. You don't need to bring another one. David therefore departed from there and he escaped. He did something which really wasn't very, it's not the right thing to do, but it saved his life. He recognized the need he was in and used what he could to be saved. And then he comes out and he pens the psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's where we started this morning, isn't it? That's what John said in a word. It was praise, it's bless. You know, we're looking at the same thing, or very similar things. Excuse me when I say the same. Praise God, that's what it tells us in verse 1. Give thanks to him, bless him. And it goes on there, doesn't it? Praise, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's not a one-off. We don't just praise God once and say, that's it, I'm done, I'm finished. It's fill our mouth with praise as we exalt our God. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Repeat the truths about God. How many be humble before him? It tells us God will lift us up as we come and recognize, God, you've done this. God, you've done that. How many times have we been saying now, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. As we speak out what God has done, we not only remind ourselves, but we encourage others. And we're actually speaking it again. We said, do it again, Lord. You've done it once. Do it again. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. More exaltation. Oh, magnify the Lord. Come on, join in together, he said. Let's get a bit loud. Let's get a bit of volume. We're trying to do that as well before. See, John has no idea what I've got here. But that's what he's saying. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's get it moving. Let's get it up into another peg. Let's exalt our God. He's worthy of praise. It's not just a little quiet, oh, that's all right, God. No, come on, let rip. You know, he said about the football stadiums, yes, they let rip. What was happening when the rugby was going on? They weren't be sitting quietly. Oh, isn't that good? They were shouting their heads off. We've got a God who's worth more than all of that, who's much, much greater, much more powerful, much more worthy of saying, come on, we're going to exalt him. How many times, maybe some homework for you, how many times does it tell us in the Bible to exalt God? There you are. That's a good one. That'll take you a week or two, particularly if you write them all down. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We're told, and we have authority. That's what it says in the Amplified. We're told, I sought the Lord and he heard me. We've got authority from Jesus to seek him. To seek the Lord. And it tells us there, and he delivered me from all my fears. That means when we seek the Lord, he will answer us. He will deliver us from all our fears. Goes on, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. We can see. We can look to the face of Jesus. Remember, that's what see means, looking into the face of someone else. So Jesus said, come on, look at me. Turn your eyes upon me. And you won't be embarrassed. I won't embarrass you. Come on. Look to me. We can cry out and God will save us. We're told that a second time, reinforcing what's been said early on. Then we see the angel of the Lord, or that can be seen, God himself encamps around all those who fear him and he delivers them. If we turn our hearts to God, he will cover us. We are under the shelter of his wings. The analogy that one of the verses in scripture gives us, we are like chicks under a mother hen's wing. You cross a mother hen when she's got chicks, and you will come off badly, I can assure you. And the commitment of a mother to her child. Again, hearing about Ukraine, the mothers were saying, throwing themselves across their children to protect them. Heard about the fires on the moors, where they've been going through, and they found the partridges, the mums covering the chicks. Mums being burnt to death, but the chicks, when they move mum, still alive. We're under God's wing. He will protect us. That's one of the things that's first and foremost. We are his children. He wants to protect us. But we've got a part to play. And that's taste and see that the Lord is good. Receive the blessing that he wants to give us. It goes on again in Psalm 9, verse 9. Fear the Lord. God looks after us. He wants to keep us there in the right place. We'll not lack anything. That's the assurance we've got. And that's a real hard one. Helen and I stumble on that at times when we look at that and we think, you look around the world. You think, Lord, why? Why are those people starving? Why are those people being murdered? Why are those people in the middle of a war zone being flattened? I don't know the answer to that. But all I can say is the word of God tells me to trust God. And that's what we've got to do. We won't understand. We will never understand everything. And if we carry on saying, well, I don't understand this, so I'll block it. I don't understand that, so I'll block it. We'll get nowhere. We won't advance with God. It's only when we trust God, will we advance? It tells us that we're not going to lack anything. God says he will provide and supply all our needs, not our wants. And it goes on, you know, I'm not going to go through every verse, but it says, come on, listen, be taught how to fear the Lord. And it tells us in verses 12, 13, and 14, you know, what we've got to do to fear the Lord. The Lord is near. He's telling us, turn your eyes and your ears to me, as well as taste and see. The Lord is near. The circumstances, not of our own choosing, but God protects. God wants us to taste and see, to experience his goodness. In the natural, to look at nature, to slow down, to enjoy our food, to enjoy the colors. Isn't it wonderful with autumn? When you ride around and see, God created this. You've got all these wonderful colors, the way the trees change at different times. Think, wow, what an amazing God that is. I mean, if it had been us to say, oh, well, it's okay, the leaves die and they just drop off the tree. But God says, no, let's have a wonderful, spectacular view for everybody to enjoy, to see, look, this is I'm in control. This is the way things are happening. I'm causing things to come about. But enjoy what's happening. You think things are dying. They're not. They're just moving into the next phase. And that's for us as well. Winter might be approaching, but we're just moving into a new phase. And you know what? After winter comes spring, when everything bursts back into life again in glorious splendor. That's our God's creation. And he wants us to experience that. He wants us to experience music. How many times can you be feeling down and you can put a bit of music on and straight away, whoa, that's lifted me. And even more when we start partaking of the music, when we start singing along with the music, it does something in here that it can only do as we release ourselves in song. Things change in our innermost being. Value relationships. See each other as God's creation. Never mind, oh, he's an odd one, isn't he? Everyone. We're not told we're going to like everybody, but we're told to love everybody. And that's as we actually move on, empowered by God. In the spiritual, God wants us to appreciate the fruits of the Spirit that God is pouring, yes, pouring into us. He wants us to grow in our love for others so we can enjoy helping other people out. He wants us to be more content with our lives. Let's be positive, not negative. Ah, but never mind the buts. Let's look at the positives. This is what God's doing. Look on the good side. Is your glass half full or half empty? That's what we've got to be thinking about ourselves. It's spend time with God. Pray, entering God's presence. Read the word to get a godly mindset. Seek to put what experiences in what we've been told into practice. So we can not only testify about it, we can show people that our lives, that we can exhibit in our lives, we have tasted and we have seen the goodness of our God because he's amazing. How many times have I said that this morning? But he is. He's amazing. Taste and see that he is good. I'm going to stop at that. There's a bit more to follow, but I'll do that at the end. Yeah. And I just want us to get hold of that. Taste and see. Our God is amazing. So great our praise. For seek the Lord. Call out to him. Sometimes that cry is help. And God hears that. Sometimes it can be a long prayer. But sometimes it's I need you, Lord. Help. Sometimes we haven't got time to think to pen something. Or to formulate something. And it's a cry for help. It's look. Look into the face. Remember that Hebrew for taste means to look into each other's faces. And Jesus says, look at me. Look at me. Receive the assurance. That's six. When we're covered by God, he will rescue us. Seven, like a nice piece of food. Don't just gobble it down. Swallow it whole. Savor it. Roll it in our mouths. Get the fullness of the goodness. Fear the Lord. Number eight. Nine, seek the Lord. And number 10, listen to the Lord and do as he says. 10 steps to taste and see. Thank you, Lord. Help us to lay hold and put into practice. In Jesus' name.